are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Good afternoon, everyone. Hello, hello, hello. Hopefully you're having an amazing and prosperous day. Welcome again to the Finding Your Forte Talk Radio Show here on Up to Me Radio. We're really, really excited about the guest we have in store for you. It's been a little while coming, and I'll share a little bit of a fumble on my part that kept us from having this conversation earlier, but we won't focus on that. I've just excited beyond belief to bring him to this conversation. But before that, I want to thank again and remind you to check out the track that introduced the show, Shantae Cann's Free Your Dreams. And we always appreciate that she has allowed us to have that song be the mood setter for our conversation. And it absolutely does a great job for that. So if you enjoyed it, definitely go check it out. Check it out on your favorite music streaming or music purchasing repository. It's everywhere. Free Your Dreams by Shantae Cann, and I think you'll really enjoy it. But with that said, I would like for all of our listeners collectively across the world to say a big and robust hello to City Councilman Andre Dickens. Andre, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks, Reggie, and good morning to you, and good afternoon to you, and good afternoon to all your listeners. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it is, in fact, noon, and this is our power lunch hour, and having the opportunity to have you in this conversation reminds of just how powerful that is, and I'm sure that you'll modestly back away from that, but I won't let you. I won't let you. But so just to give our conversation a little bit of context, first of all, I've known Andre for many, many years, primarily from the peripheral. He might not even remember this, and I saved this little trip down memory lane just for this conversation and didn't even let him know I was going to bring this up. But I actually first met him randomly in an airport, and they might not even remember this, but I do remember grabbing his car. We met each other. You know, it's if you have the opportunity to meet both of us, you know, it's rare to run a couple of 6'4 and above brothers walking through the airport. And so somehow we made a connection, shook hands, exchanged cards, and I had, for whatever reason, had that car on my desk for a number of years. And here now later, here we are, we've had an opportunity to kind of intensely engage through a number of things, but most substantially here recently, we were honored enough to have him go through the Finding Your Forte program through a peer group experience. Do you remember that, Andre? Do you remember that encounter or no? You can be honest. If you don't, if I was just another random fan in the airport, then you can say that.
No, I remember the encounter. I don't remember when it was, though, but I do remember running into you in the airport. And then subsequently, we started seeing each other at various people's events and cookouts and, you know,
we definitely run in the same circles. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. So, no, I did cheat a little bit. I did go back to your LinkedIn profile to kind of find the timeline of when I knew it was a chemicals company that you were working at. So that was mm-hmm. I knew about that time was around the same time that I was with Accenture and transferred to the Atlanta office of Accenture. And it was around that time that I just remember just, And frankly, you know, that encounter was, you know, significant for me because it was one in many of the really warm, you know, just random encounters I had with people that you just felt like were going places. You know, they were emerging in their own presence. And it was clearly the, you know, kind of really quick interaction that we had that left me with that impression for you. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate it, brother. I feel the same way. Likewise.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's you know, kind of dive in, if you will, and share, you know, we can talk about your pursuit of purpose more broadly and, you know, quite, you know, really in a really focused way, just because we at least have within the last year the recency of our conversation within Finding Your Forte. But, you know, I'll be honest with you. I'm really more interested in the bigger picture for you in terms of how your pursuit of purpose in your life and in your work and your career and in your service to our great city has been playing out for you recently. I'll just to give some context for our listeners. So we went through a process that helped us land on a purpose statement for Andre that I'd like to share, which was to use his faith to enthusiastically serve communities, transform lives, and advocate for common ground as we seek our fullest potential as a society. And, you know, we really could just stop and decompose that, you know, for some time now and spend a whole lot of time on really some specific elements of that, because we're watching it play out, you know, so vividly in our, you know, kind of political landscape as it is. But for now, at least in this conversation, I'd like for, you know, you to share with our listeners what pursuit of that purpose has been like for you as of late.
Yeah, so Reggie, first, just finding your forte, the class, the workshops that we went through was tremendously impactful in my life, helpful for me and my journey. To be able to come up with these words on my own, it didn't happen. I spent years trying to figure out my purpose and acting in a way that folks thought I was clear about my purpose. And even at times I might have told myself, I'm good, I'm at my purpose. And luckily I didn't find myself too far off of path of purpose, but I wasn't firmly on it and wasn't secure in it and wasn't clear. But like I said, luckily I wasn't, you know, way off into a ditch, you know, running alongside my purpose in a hardened way. But because of the conversations that we have and the workshops and to get me to this point to articulate that, you know, I really just want to use my faith and serve communities and help transform lives for our societal goals to live ourselves out to be the best society we can be. That's what I wake up and think about each and every day. That's what I go to sleep thinking about as I, you know, rest. And so to articulate it now, I'm clear about it. And it actually helps me manage competing interests. So when you ask me the question of, you know, how am I using this? One way I'm using this is defensively. Defensively is to say, well, you know, when you're a city council person, a deacon at a church, I run the state of Georgia for this nonprofit called Tech Bridge, and I'm just a homeboy from around the way. Every day, my phone rings, my inbox is filled with people competing for my interest. Not that I'm some valuable player, but things are coming at us just like it's coming at every one of your listeners from your mailbox to your inbox, everything. I stand in a unique position that I can do something in people's minds. Like, hey, I want you to deal with this, 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 and this. And so now I have to always manage those competing interests. Yes, I'm interested in that. Yes, I'm interested in that. Yes, I'm interested in it. But I'm also interested in my purpose, which is to serve the greater good in a meaningful way. And to be thoughtful about it means that I'm going to have to defensively block out things that aren't directly in line with that purpose, or that my capability and my skill set, no matter how much of a Superman I think I am, no matter how many college degrees I have or connection points I have, I may not be uniquely positioned to bring about that change. Let someone else in our society, let someone else enthusiastically serve the community in the way that this individual is asking me. So being able to say not right now, or being able to say no, or being able to say that's not my calling, I'll give you 10 minutes on it, I'll give you 20 minutes on it, but I won't spend a lifetime on that issue with you right now. Let me send you to some other players who can carry that role, is really helpful to me, because I used to chase all types of butterflies through the forest. chasing them. And then I find myself operating on 4 hours of sleep and frustrated that my central thesis for the day didn't get done.
You were chasing butterflies all day.
Yeah, that's right. My central purpose for this day, or the general operating course manual for my day, as these two or three stops, but I'm way over here in the woods chasing this butterfly that somebody's got going on.
You know, I got to tell you, first of all, your language around that is beautiful, but also... that if no other nuggets come out of this conversation that people can take away with as something that they can apply for themselves, is just the notion that having a declared purpose gives you clarity about what you should be focusing on and a framework to prioritize all the things that are coming at you. Right now, I mean, for somebody, they're hearing that and go, oh, is that what you can get out of this? I mean, just imagine, like, if you talk to people and have an appreciation for their daily struggle, it's like which mountain to go conquer, because so many of them stand in front of you. You got the whole, landscape of things that you can go do, the things that are calling your attention, how to move from the conversation, move your personal conversation and priority from what you can do to what you're called to do. That's really profound, and it's clarifying, and it frees up time for you, and it gives you focus. So I really appreciate you bringing that to this conversation. That's really, really helpful.
And Reggie, I'll add two more quick points on that. One is, there's a statement, a quote that I've read that says, the key to getting things done is knowing what to leave undone. And so learning that, knowing what to leave undone.
Let me just sit on that for a second. Oh, my God. That's just, the key, I'm going to give you the Oprah treatment now. Let me just say that again. the key to getting things done is leaving some things undone. I'm gonna meditate on that for a while. That's great.
You gotta leave some things undone. I mean, I got Thanksgiving examples that we can go to on that,
Don't get yourself in trouble, man, because I know you still got stuff to do.
But so some things you gotta leave undone. For us, the talented 10th or the whatever you want to call us, people will come to you with everything. And so I merge that with the second point that Finding Your Forte helped me do, is I don't have to solve everybody's marital problems. Why? Because Brother Pritchett was in the room, and
that's
his
exactly
forte,
right.
His point is that he wants to be the advocate for improving people's marriages, their relationships. He wants people to get married and live in harmony. And so me, I don't have to think that I got to solve everybody's problem, because I met a homeboy, a network partner, a guy that I believe in. I sat in the room 8 weeks, 9 weeks with him and you and others, and I heard him. I saw his passion. I've seen his examples. I saw him, rotate that Rubik's Cube in his mind of how he wants to get this done. And to now all six colors add up to where he wanted to be. I saw him mature in that process that I didn't know for sure. That I don't have the capacity at scale that he does to help folks stay in marriages. So when someone comes to me with that stuff, that and how to broaden this perspective on the great couples, I know I got a brother that's part of my forte group that can do that. I know I got a guy that's all about helping entrepreneurs, young folks become entrepreneurs, or young folks, young family members learn the stock market. We got a brother that wants to be the black CSNBC. MSNBC or CNBC, whatever it is, I'm like, man, he knows stocks, and he learned that himself and trained himself, and now he's an expert on this. So I don't have to do this, teach folks these things.
Right.
And people will come to me and ask, Andre, you have a stock portfolio. You have a 401k. How'd you do
right.
it? And I can give a, I can put 10 minutes on it, 20 minutes on it, but I don't
right.
have to try to make that my life purpose. I'm
right.
going to leave that undone because I'm going to hand that ball off to one of my eight brothers or seven brothers in the Forte group.
Right, and know that he's sitting there chomping at the bit waiting for that call.
He's waiting at that call. And
right.
He'd be so upset if I'm sitting out there leading courses on stuff that he knows
right.
he can do better than me.
That's exactly right. And then, and just to give a little context for our listeners, so Andre went through the Finding Your Forte experience as part of one of the things I am most excited and proud of my, you know, kind of 2017, you know, kind of undertakings was, you know, we had a Finding Your Forte peer group that was focused on men being intentional about living their legacy through their purpose and in the way they execute that in their work and their careers and their business. And we had the, you know, amazing and, you know, kind of humbling blessing of having the opportunity to, I was able to co-lead this with one of our good friends, mutually, Jawanza Watt,
mm-hmm.
who is, you know, long-term, I mean, so many like client, friend, you know, confidant for all of us that, you know, we were able to facilitate kind of an 8-part series peer group that went through the process of discovering purpose and then kind of got started in terms of igniting execution of that purpose. And so, you know, what Andre is sharing is one of the profound elements that I'll be honest with you, Andre, I did not predict. And the formation of this whole model was that you would have a level of awareness of other people around the table's purpose enough to be able to, you know, help you prioritize and appreciate what things you should be taking on and what things you should be passed on, someone who's more purposed to do, to deliver on those things. So I'm excited to have had that experience. And it really, you know, for me was an absolutely inspiring and just, you know, really over the top emotional experience for me just to have been a part of that conversation.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. So yeah, that was an additional, you know, value in the program mm-hmm. was the cohort, the sharing and watching other people mature, you know, professionals, guys that are already
right.
at a pinnacle in their careers, but to see them come to their being in their who-ness, their who, you know, who they are themselves and their purpose, you know, watching that was, you know, we all wanted to be there every Friday. I mean,
right.
you think about it to your listeners, Reggie, you explain what we did, but think about this, listeners, busy men in our 40s,
right.
we
right.
got careers, wives, kids, you know, all kinds of activities. We met every Friday at 4:30.
Just let that
was the time. That was the best time for us.
Right.
At 4:30 on a Friday. Now, other people
right.
at 4:30 on Friday are trying to find some fun, you know, to
right.
find themselves at a happy hour. Or
winding down their week.
Winding down their week.
To pleasure. Yeah.
Transferring from work to pleasure.
And we put ours off for a couple hours a week.
Yeah, we put ours off for a couple hours so we could be around the table with each other and get
right.
this wisdom that Jawanza and Reggie and each other, we were all sharing. So yeah, it helped us.
It was absolutely, you know, my pleasure. And, you know, for me, you know, I think one of the things that was the common denominator for this group was just the humility. When you think about, you know, I mean, really, you could easily profile that group as a who's who in the various disciplines of work that they are. I mean, we had attorneys and, you know, financial planners and yourself, city leaders and, you know, corporate professionals. I mean, just some amazing accolades around the room. And nobody kind of brought to this conversation any, you know, well, I'm already aware of my purpose, no need to discover it, or any, you know, just unproductive, you know, kind of pride in, you know, kind of where they were in life. They all saw this as an opportunity to get clear on it. And as a result, the reward for them was the clarity and the connectedness to each other. And, you know, I think that this, you know, this brotherhood that, if you will, that kind of formed organically and not through any declaration or anything, will sustain, I mean, for years from now. I mean, we all know that at some point we're probably going to be watching, you know, some show that Rick is, you know, hosting around investing in the stock market, and, you know, or we'll see his app and have our kids download mm-hmm. his app so that they can play games, you know, on you know, trading stocks. So there's so much that's going to come from that experience, and I appreciate that you were a part of it.
Yep. No, I'm thankful too.
Absolutely. But I think that, like, for me, though, what's helpful in this conversation is, you know, kind of to talk about, and maybe this is a, you know, almost like one of the reality show reunions where we get a chance to say, okay, so what's happened since we were last together? So when you think about, you know, the work that you've been in enthusiastic and extreme pursuit, and, you know, we don't get a chance to talk about it directly, but of course I see it, you know, I everywhere I go, I'm running into someone who has this amazing, over-the-top experience to share about Andre Dickens randomly. They don't even know we know each other. They just, you know, whether it's me trying to do a strategic planning for a nonprofit that I'm doing some work on, or if it's just randomly connecting with a client that, you know, again, don't know we're connected, but they're talking about something that you were really helpful on. Or if it's just even one of the things I really appreciate you, probably more than most, you know, the very transparent way you engage constituents in the social media space. A lot of times, you know, people that are in political positions avoid doing that at you know, risk of, you know, having some constituent who, you know, might see a discussion and be turned off about it. I think most people appreciate that you're willing to have that conversation in the public domain and have everyone know where you stand. And that just for me, the beauty of the authenticity of that and the transparency of that, I think is part of what is your own personal DNA that will continue to, you know, have you soar to greater heights in some of the things that are on the horizon for you.
Yeah, so I appreciate that. You know, social media is something I'm trying to use more and more because it's a community platform. You know, I have to use various tools to be able to bring about community. And I'll tell you why community is important, but the actual tool itself is, you know, social media is a helpful tool to kind of be transparent. I work for the people. And so being able to get their advice and their input and share it, I don't just share, hey, look at me cutting a ribbon. Hey, look at me, I'm getting an award. If that was all we shared, then that's limiting result, you know, that you really could use this tool for. You need to maximize it. So I use it for that. And then also, you know, go to a tremendous amount of meetings and churches and stuff because everyone's not on social media. A large
right.
amount of our senior community don't use Facebook and Instagram. My mom, for instance, doesn't. A lot of people don't have access to technology the way that we do right here on our phone, and the speed at which we communicate is sometimes distracting the folks. So I have to go to the source of where, you know, meet people where they are. So I'm standing in a whole bunch of churches and meeting halls and schools and stuff, just to, you know, make sure that I'm getting all the voices that need to be heard. And that's part of my purpose too,
mm-hmm.
is that's in line with that common ground. To serve the community. And I you know, coming out of the church and being, you know, part of the church and stuff, kind of the high and the low sit on the same pew. And so that's part of why I think that it's important for us to engage in dialogue as a community. People feel voiceless these days, even though we have these tools to give our voice. You know, I got, you know, hundreds of thousands of followers but I got, you know, only 20 followers, and people have a uneven level of voice they feel. And so There are some of us who can amplify even the smallest voice in a room because it's a voice that needs to be heard. Mm-hmm. We're moving at light speed in our society, and I don't want to slow things down just for slowness sake. I want to make sure that that we give people opportunity to contribute, and that is sometimes valuable currency as money is. When I think about people in poverty, agency is almost as important as money.
Absolutely.
And they may not articulate it as such, but when they say, "Oh, you just gonna look right past me," or "Oh, you're not gonna," ever been in a situation where somebody is like, "Oh, you didn't treat my table like you treated their table." Now we're at the same restaurant, we're spending the same money, but that feeling, that's where this gentrification conversation is about. That's where all these, these mistrusts, distrust, these things are about agency. Like, you are looking past me. It's almost like I don't exist. My voice is less than the guy who has the money, or less than the person who comes from a privileged class. It's about prejudice. And all these things are disturbing our society. And I wish it was just about money. Then that way I could do it with a tax bill. If it was just about money, I could do it with some tax manipulation. I could do it with some economic empowerment tools. And then we could just zip zap and everybody would be fair. Socialism could get it done. But it's not just that. It's about fairness and opportunity and breaking down walls that divide us in a way that makes people feel undervalued in our society from a cultural standpoint. And that's nationally, that's happening right now across our nation. It even helps, in the worst way, it makes people vote and act against their own self-interest. You got rural folks that will vote against their self-interest all because they feel like people in proximity to them don't hear them, and some outsider comes in and lands in their town and say, "I got your back." And they just wanted somebody to say, "I came to see about you." They do nothing after that. Nothing. Right. They feel like that person got their interest in mind. And hey, that's that. And so I want to be a voice.
How profound, though. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I apologize.
That's real, though. Being a voice to the voiceless and taking all these things that I have access to, all these communications, all these tools, all these privileges I have earned and sometimes just been given, and I want to share them.
Yeah, I got a little excited there and just jumped in on you because I really wanted to express how profound it is for you to see that as people's currency. When they don't have a currency to transact on, they see that attention and that ability to be a voice. Like, that is a currency maybe even more profound for them than money is for others, that for some people might come and go. So and frankly, I feel like that is at the root of an emerging new set of values that, you're pioneering the way in terms of bringing to the city or the state house or the steps of of our country in terms of just grassroots and public service and community advocacy that is clearly a part of the way that you engage the constituents you serve, and not just constituents you serve, but if you could talk to enough people and you'll find out that those folks that know of the work that you've done and the passion you bring to it, and then you'll end the conversation, "Well, did you vote for him? Aren't you excited about voting for him?" And, "Oh no, he's not even my guy."
Right.
Which tees up a great point that we're going to use this to kind of take a quick break. But I want to make sure that our listeners know this, that Andre is having the he's just coming off of the rare and very, you know, closely, highly contested win of being reelected to the city council. And I'm joking because he went unopposed. And so that in itself is a statement of the level of confidence that the city and your constituents have for you, you know, that there was no one to even say, you know, I'm ready to, you know, knock this guy off the block to try to figure out how I can serve on his behalf. And that is a rare thing in this, you know, particularly in the landscape that we're in right now, where haven't had such high levels of competition in races, that speaks volumes for you and the work that you're doing. So I want to congratulate you on that.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. All right.
Absolutely.
So,
You know, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say so many people helped me with that. You know, nobody ran against me for a number of reasons. I think we did the hard work, me and my staff and I. And then I got people in high places. They, you know, when I posted, I came out of the Finding Your Forte class. I'm sure somebody saw that and said, oh, man, dude, not only doing the work now, he just doubled down on it and got himself a purpose. He got himself a band of brothers. It's like, oh my gosh! I thought the dude, you know, like, oh, so he's still in the gym working out. Okay, all right. So I don't want to go against that.
That ain't what I want.
Yeah. All right, man. If I thought he was getting lazy, then I'd get at him. But he went back to the gym. You know.
Right.
Oh, no, I can't go.
Right. Oh no. Oh man, that's hilarious. I think that's a pretty good note to kind of take a quick break, Andre, and we'll give our listeners a chance to hear from the sponsors that are bringing us our show for today. And then after the break, we'll come back and finish our conversation with City Councilman Andre Dickens. And we are back. Hopefully everyone enjoyed our quick break, and hopefully you're enjoying this conversation that we're having with Councilman Andre Dickens. It's hard for me to get the formality of his role, but I must do that because we're in front of company. And I want people to be aware of, the calling and the connectedness to purpose that this conversation is bringing through its weight. And so I appreciate you joining us, Andre. I appreciate it again. Thank you so much for spending this time with us.
All right. Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
And you gave us a really nice pivot earlier in the conversation that I'll take now. I'll take that off ramp with you. And that is, you know, what it looks like. We, you know, the first part of this conversation, we really focused on you and your pursuit of purpose and how that's unfolded. And, you know, just the clarity, you know, I really like the points that the conversation we had around the clarity and the focus that is, you know, as an outcome of that. But what I would really love for you to kind of put your, you know, your futurist hat on, if you were, you know, a predictor, and if you were to think forward a bit of like what our city, our communities, and even our great nation will be like as more people get clarity around their purpose. Like, in what ways do you see that playing out that, you know, we can at least have some understanding of, you know, what's at stake for people to go through similar experiences?
To find their purpose, you mean?
Right. To get the same level of clarity or purpose that you did.
Yeah, I think it's a beautiful journey as well as a destination. You know, the destination is important to hit this goal of finding your purpose. It's important because of the completion of it, and it's important so that you can actually go about doing the work and that God has put you on this earth to do, that you feel within your heart to do, and clearly there's a need for whatever unique perspective or performance that you're going to have on this earth. So I think the destination is critical and necessary, so much so that 7 billion people on this planet need each one of us to hit our purpose for us to be the best at society. So, you know, you have a ripple effect, you know, just in your corridor, your corner, or your part of the world. So the destination of you finding your purpose is important because it can help society move forward. But the process of getting there is, you know, a journey, and it's important as well. That way you're kind of firmer in it. Like now, it's not just words on a page. I remember going through the work to get to these words on the page. I remember going through the work to rule out certain things that were in my list of things I thought I were part of my purpose, and to say, well, dwindle that down, and well, why that? And okay, cross that one out, and well, sharpen that. Choose this. You look at it from this lens. When you mm-hmm. do this, this is how you ultimately feel. And you know, so right now as we're talking, I'm looking at how we got here. I'm looking at the scratch outs. I'm looking at the circles. I'm looking at the arrows. And mm-hmm. I'm saying, oh, wow, I remember you said think big, start small. And then what's the medium plan? You know, that is how this vision, you know, it said write the vision and make it plain. Well, it doesn't get plain right away. You know, it gets plain
right
through a process, and that journey of writing that vision and making it plain, so that the plainness helps you be able to access it quickly and consistently. So it's necessary to have a plain vision, but it doesn't get plain overnight. It gets
right
plain through this journey, and someone like you helped me bring mine out, and a number of other people, and to my pastor and teachers that over life have gotten me here. But to like write it down, to succinctly be able to hone it in, the finding your forte process got me there. So that journey is memorable and instructive to me to help others be able to do that, whether they go through yours, your series or not, just getting their minds around thinking about, you know, finding your purpose, and knowing that you have a purpose. You know, some people
right
walk around here saying, well, you know, I'm just one person. All I'm trying to do is make sure I, you know, don't mess up one of the Ten Commandments, you know.
Right.
I'm going to do this.
Right.
I don't want to be in
cover
trouble.
Cover the basics. Right.
Yeah, give all the basics. They're going to do these bad
don't
things.
Don't kill people, that kind of
don't
stuff.
Don't kill
right
people. Stop stealing. And then I'm going to go to work and try to make sure that I, you know, pay my bills on time and,
right,
have some good memories and good laughs with my friends. And, you know, that's it, right? That's what life is. And,
right,
you know, but then they start having this tugging on their heart, this yearning for more, and then they wonder where that's coming from. It's because they need to, you know, hone in on it and find out what they're good at, what they are most, what their impact is on society, what their impact is on lives, and that then really crystallizes who they are.
You know, I really appreciate that, you know, kind of coloring of the cumulative effect of, you know, people getting clear around their purpose. And if you think about just for a second, the experience that we had and, you know, the eight guys that were around the table that got clear on their purpose and what that meant to be able to, you know, almost just kind of mentally and informally, you know, understand the divide and conquer plan that's amongst us, right? And then if you take that and, you know, exponentialize it across the world to the, you know, as you mentioned, the 7 billion people in the world and like what that might mean, what the cumulative effect, it kind of goes to this, you know, this point. I often tell people many of our world's ills can be tied back to people operating out of purpose, or they don't, you know, without clarity of it. And you can see it from, you know, as close as, you know, people that are in jobs that they hate, or that they don't, you know, doing work that they don't find fulfilling, so they can't get excited about it. So, you know, kind of to go back to your example, you know, knowing like what your motivations are and being able to plug that in your purpose prevents that. They haven't gone through that exercise,
mm-hmm.
And they aren't that deliberate and intentional. And so, what they end up just kind of having a job as opposed to connected to the thing that really, you know, it rewards them or excites them about their work. And if you can, you know, and it goes as broad as, you know, people that, you know, maybe wayward citizens that in some ways have gotten in trouble but they have gifts that they haven't had the opportunity to bring to the surface or to, you know, live out in their business and their careers. So That I cannot emphasize enough how important that is as a way to, you know, bring solutions, you know, kind of to the public domain. And, you know, to, for me, it's really encouraging to hear, particularly, like, and I don't know if you remember this, but how excited I got when we were kind of drafting, word crafting your purpose statement. And when you kind of had this moment where you talked about enthusiastic community service, part of why I got really excited about that, because I could see this element of it, you know, coming out. I was thinking, oh yeah, man, Andre's now going to plug in people serving the community through, you know, the work that they feel called to do. And of course it's going to be enthusiastic.
Yeah.
I think that's a great effect.
Right. And you remember I had at one point said, well, let me take the enthusiastic part out. And he was like, what? No, that is the,
that's the best part.
That's the best part. You're like, put that enthusiastically back in there. What are you talking about? That's part of who you are. You know,
right.
Your enthusiasm is as much you as, you know, as other parts are. So don't take that out. No, leave
right.
it in. I was like, okay.
My apologies. I got a little excited.
But no, that's it. Yeah, you gotta make sure people are aware that, you know, all that counts. Mm-hmm.
Right, right. Well, Andre, this has been a, you know, really fascinating and clarifying conversation. I really appreciate you, you know, kind of taking the time out to have it with us. I know that again, I've apologized before, but I'll apologize again for the earlier in the year fumble in my schedule that allowed this not to happen earlier. But hopefully the wait was worth it to this overall conversation. Thank you so much for the time today. I know that this is a really busy time of year for you and your colleagues and all of the work. I did hear in a press conference that you led the city council on yesterday, which I was, of course, elated to hear. And so thank you, and I wish you know, the best as you continue to go about the work that you're called to do, and, you know, kind of serve our communities in the way that you've been so astutely tuned into.
Well, hey, I appreciate you, and keep doing what you're doing, brother. I'm thankful and hopeful and about all your listeners that if they haven't found their forte, if they haven't found their purpose, that they do so, and that they pursue finding their purpose, and they can do that through you. Your program was wonderful, helpful, and you know, all my brothers that were in the group with me, and even other groups that we've met after you've done our class and the one you did before that, everybody has gotten a benefit out of it, and I'm telling folks about it. And then now is the 2.0, as we come 6 months from graduating out of our class, or whatever you want to call it, you know, it's check-in time, you know, seeing what's
right.
going on in people's lives. And, you know, we see each other and chat it up, and we see each other on social media, but now it's like seeing how that's going and catching up with folks and seeing just what it looks like to live in your purpose. So keep doing what you're doing. You're having a tremendous effect on people's lives, Reggie.
Well, I really appreciate that, Andre, and I feel the same way about the work that you're doing, and I think that's the beauty of this work in general, as we connect with each other and to be able to uplift and encourage and inspire each other. That that's like pouring gas on this positive pursuit that that we both got. So thank you so much for that. And with that, listeners, we will close out another hopefully helpful, but for me, very fulfilling episode of the Finding Your Forte show. And as always, I encourage you to find your forte, compose your masterpiece, and play your crescendo. Have an amazing and prosperous day.
Let the bad moments change my mind. I'm free my dreams from deep inside. I'm not trying to be something I'm not. I'm just trying to use what I got. And over time, you'll see that I may get a little bit weak. But it don't mean that I still don't have a dream. So I said, reach up and touch the sky and fly high. Jump up and kiss the sun, you've already won. Just look up and don't look back, you're on the right track. Wake up and free your dreams into reality. I'm taking each moment as if it's my last. Don't wanna rush my lessons though. Oh, I'm embracing my future, learning from my past. I'm counting all my blessings. Oh, oh, oh. I'm not trying to be something I'm not. Into reality, I'ma say it one more time. Reach up and touch the sky.